Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Whose chair is that? Who bought that goddamn chair? That's not my chair. Not my chair, not my problem. That's what I say. No way.
It's live audio from Morgan Wallen from the sixth floor.
What are you going to do with that guy?
Not a good Sunday night.
It's not my chair. Man.
He's wild.
It's not my chair.
You like that, though, maybe, don't you?
Did you see his mugshot, dude? He's just happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll change anything, to be honest with you. And last time he got in all the trouble on social media for saying dumb stuff, he got more popular.
Right.
So
that's what I mean. Doesn't that play into the bad boy
yeah,
image?
To the allure of bad boy Morgan Wallen.
I feel like the people, or at least a good portion of the people there at the concert, having fun.
I'm just glad nobody got hurt.
Want him throwing chairs off the roof.
Chucking chairs off the sixth floor.
Right.
One doesn't land on somebody.
Chiefs. I haven't been to that one. That's Eric Church's new bar in Nashville.
I was just on Broadway this weekend.
Yeah?
It's crazy, man.
He didn't throw any chairs.
Did you go on that one?
I didn't see any chairs go flying off. No, I don't go into the...
Where'd you go?
Chiefs. I mean, it's the Chiefs bar. You didn't pop in there?
Where did you go?
A t-shirt?
I went to a bar called the Redneck Riviera.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's down on the corner. It's not. It's like one of the old bars.
It's big and rich, boys. Come on now.
It's
come on. What'd you do?
My production assistant, Donna, who's like the best in the business.
Did you get into a fight?
No, I didn't get into a fight. No, I listened to live music. I threw a chair out the front door.
Did you go in there and kick someone's ass?
Well, you know what? I did the exact opposite. There was Donna's had a buddy who plays in a cover band that plays there every Friday night.
Sure.
And they went around taking tips and asking for requests.
Mm-hmm. So I made a request.
I requested Bob Marley, and they said it was the first time anybody
seems like a bizarre request.
First time anybody had ever requested Bob Marley, yeah. and the lead guitarist played Three Little Birds, and everybody in the bar sang.
Wow!
And I said, if I can get everybody in a bar called the Redneck Riviera to sing Bob Marley, there's hope for this world after all.
There you go.
So it was fun. It was a great time. But
nice
I don't like
that
going.
They honored your request.
All those. I put a tip in.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. Donna's the best.
Why didn't you request this song? You wouldn't really meet.
Maybe next time I will. Who sings this?
Richie Valens. Now to smack the coffee out of your hand and even ask you that. Now that just pissed me off.
La Bamba.
You ever watched the movie La Bamba?
I watched it when I was a kid. I haven't seen it since.
He sang this to her.
Okay.
I would have gotten slapped, dude.
Broadway is different than it was like awesome. I mean, it's changed a lot because all the bars now
that Elmo suit
are
what
the Elmo suit on Broadway. The guy bags.
That's enough.
I wish I'd have put some money down on a bar down in Printer's Alley 30 years ago when we were playing there in AAA, knowing that it was going to turn into what it is now.
Man,
now, we used to go to a little hole in the wall called the Fiddle and Steel. That's when I first met the guys that turned out to be Rascal Flatts. We're playing in Shelly Wright's band and hanging out there, lead singer. And you just never knew who was going to run in there. Toby Keith ran in there one night.
Now they have all these big commercialized clubs.
A lot of the big hits have their own bigger stars.
There's a Kid Rock bar there.
Right.
I was there a couple years ago. That was opening the week. Last time I was in town, it was opening. That we didn't make it. I think we went to Luke Bryan's. I like the off the beaten path.
Yeah.
There's one place called Swinging Doors that are a little bit off the main.
Well, yeah, they're less likely to get hit by a flying chair, maybe one of those.
Yeah, that might be fun. Sure, we've all been hit by a flying chair. Not six floors up.
That's what I mean.
But I guess it landed right by the cops that were standing on the street. Right?
Well,
you're lucky you didn't hit a police officer.
Yeah, you're lucky you didn't hit anybody.
Right.
So, now I got to check what ticket prices are because I got the tickets to his show
they're
here.
Probably doubled.
August 2nd, might cash in on that.
We were leaving the bar and walking like off Broadway to get an Uber, and there was a man about our age, face down on the sidewalk in his own throw up, you know, and the lady.
See a lot of that.
Tell
us
more, please. During the breakfast hour,
look after him.
Place leads the world in bachelorette parties too.
Oh, I mean, it's Bachelorette USA.
It's crazy,
man. Yeah, for sure. Everywhere. Nashville's a really cool town. It's a cool town off Broadway, like you said. There's so many neat little neighborhoods and stuff like that. I'm trying to explore, and I get to go there now.
Well, the greatest thing about it is you'll pop into some bar off the strip and hear somebody that's one of the better musicians or singers that you've ever heard.
Yeah,
that you've never heard of.
Yeah,
because there's so many artists there in town just trying to figure it out.
So,
and, get a record deal or, you know, write a song or whatever they're doing. So that's pretty awesome about it.
Nashville, the soccer team there, has done a really cool job of tapping into the history of it and everything, or of the city. So they have these different traditions. The team's only been there for 5 years. One of the things they do before kickoff, they do the opening guitar riff. And they bring in a guitar. It's not always a country musician, sure, but usually it is, because they've got no shortage of them. So for every game, somebody does. They do a riff on the guitar, and that's like what starts the game off. And it's really cool. They got a platform for them, and they had Alex Lambert doing the national anthem and played the halftime. There's just live music all over the place. Yeah. It's really cool.
Listen to what he's talking about. He will talk about anything to avoid talking about the main topic today.
UConn's been running for the last 25, 30 years. UConn's been running college basketball. And I see all the former champs over there, and we run... We've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Let's go.
What do you think about that, Bloomer?
Well, I think it's funny. How long's he been there?
Not 30 years.
Right. I mean, Gino Auriemma has been running it for 30 years.
Well, he said college basketball.
Maybe he was meaning something like that. When I heard you guys putting the clip out there this morning, I said...
Well, go ahead.
How is it when he and Gino Auriemma get together? I mean, are they both... I mean, that's a couple of egos
right
there.
They play an unbelievable game of one-on-one.
But, I mean, if anybody could get up there and say that, it's him, because he's been there for...
He's been the head coach there since 2018.
What other school has won back-to-back national championships in both women's and men's college basketball?
It's got to be it, right? I can't imagine.
I can't imagine there's anybody else.
That's a great point. You can mix that in there, and it's like, because Gino has 11 national championships. Like,
yeah. When we were having the conversation last year about whether or not UConn was a blue blood, I remember Stan pushed back on me on this, because I said, "Well, do you factor in what the women have done?" Because my answer to that is yes. It's all part of the basketball culture. I think the fact that they've been great at both.
When you do something to the level that UConn has done it in women's college basketball, you have to factor it in.
Yeah.
Because it's so outstanding.
And
you
it's
know?
Basketball. It's women's basketball and men's basketball, but it's basketball.
11.
You know?
Yeah. How many Final Fours? 20? It's 23? Like,
you were talking about how many Final Four, how many undefeated seasons, how many conference championships?
He had like five or six. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, crazy. It's ridiculous. Yeah. He had back-to-back undefeated seasons.
Right.
I mean, Dan Hurley was right. I don't know. I don't have to tell you.
First half was good, and they stuck in there. But
you know what I was thinking about, though? The two national championship games were both the indication of team versus individual. You know, the best player in the national title game both times lost. It is a team game, you know, and it doesn't mean – it's not anything against those two players. It wasn't their fault. I mean, Caitlin Clark is a great passer. She's great at everything, but you go up against a team. I thought the halftime show was awesome, by the way. The coverage of the game last night was great, and the breakdowns they did of everything that, like, this is what UConn's doing here. This is how they're guarding Edie. They're going to let him get his points. They're not going to let him, but they're going to guard him straight up. Make sure, because we talked about that with Damon Bethea yesterday. He kept saying you can't let those shooters from Purdue get hot. If they shoot the three, then they have a chance to win. And UConn was like, Edie's going to get his.
Yep.
We'll try to take away his left shoulder.
Purdue ended up having one three-pointer or two, maybe two.
And they just didn't let anybody. And he couldn't beat them by him. He had 37 points, and his team got blown out.
But, like, just listen to the way even Bloom is talking about it. Like, he's talking about Purdue, who was the second best team in college basketball, with a 7-foot-4 center that is the back-to-back national player of the year. And Bloomer says, well, they were only down 6 at halftime. They kind of hung in there. It's like, you know, nice job. Pat on the ass, guys. Yeah. You didn't get blown out in the first 20 minutes, but you sure didn't. I mean, it's like it's amazing.
Yeah.
Nobody came within double digits of them the last 2 years in the tournament.
And it felt like... When they were at halftime, you're like, Purdue's in trouble.
When they came out and missed their first couple shots, like, oh, that's man. It.
He's like, if those so, guards don't start doing something, yeah. they have no chance to hang in
there's
this
no margin for error.
Because he can't go for 60. No. You know, he might go for 40, but he can't go for 60.
He may have, and they still would have lost.
I mean, if he went for 60, they might not have. But, I mean, he went for 37, and they lost by 15.
Right.
How about those Royals?
Man, I didn't want them to have a day off yesterday. I wanted them to keep rolling.
Major League Baseball keep does.
On. Well, Houston's getting a little bit hot coming in here, too. I would have rather had Houston yesterday the way we've been playing.
Four in a row. They sweep the White Sox. They're 6-4. And what I thought was encouraging is, and Jake, again, I keep throwing curveballs at you. Baseball lingo.
I see what he did there.
Did the bullpen give up a run this weekend?
I don't think so.
None? I know they didn't.
They Sunday. Didn't Sunday?
No, for sure.
Let's see, Saturday, pulling up the box score. No runs, only two innings pitched because Michael Walker went seven.
Yeah, but still,
still two shutout innings. Friday, Brady Singer went 6 1/3, and then the bullpen did the rest. No runs.
Okay, so that's exciting, right?
Awesome.
And then, you know, the starter, they finally didn't get a great starting pitching performance from Marsh on Sunday.
Hey, man, but worked out of trouble a bunch.
But
didn't give up a run in all four games against the White Sox.
There you go. But the bullpen came in when they needed to carry the load and didn't give up a run.
And they did it.
Right. And so now, again, it's the White Sox, but I don't care because the Tigers lost a series to the A's.
Right.
All right. Now, if the bullpen is starting to settle in and they're figuring out their roles and they're not going to drag the team down, look, the starting pitching isn't going to be as good as it's been, but we all believe it can at least be consistent.
Yes.
And things start to even out. Now we're really on to something here.
Well, it was the White Sox. Get that out of the way, too, and we were 2-4 not playing the White Sox. So now we're, you know, 6-4. So that being said, we still got to go out there and take care of business. You're at home. Offense still hasn't been great. I mean, that's the encouraging thing. We've had a few guys step up. I mean, obviously, Melendez had a huge weekend doing some things. But there's a whole bunch of guys in this lineup aren't off to great starts either. Bobby Witt, average-wise, is pretty good, but I mean, he's only got a couple RBIs. He's gotten on base, and so there's still a lot of things that we can go. But starting pitching is absolutely keep us in it. And to see some of the statistics on Sunday, you know, through the first nine starts, we have eight quality starts with an opponent batting average of 126 that hasn't been done since. And those things are great. Not sustainable throughout the course of the year, but to get off this kind of start is exactly what we needed from that group. Because that's what we were looking for. Bullpen's going to figure itself out. I don't know if any. We talked about it last week after, you know, Will Smith was there in the closer role, maybe just because of most experience. I think we're going to start to see shifts in roles and who's going to, you know, end up locking down those spots. It was MacArthur on Sunday. We just traded for another guy. I think
Stratton got a save.
Stratton got a save. Just guys just starting to figure it out. And what I love hearing about, too, and we talked about it last Tuesday, was just the internal competition between the starting pitchers. You hear more guys talking about it. Waka, you even heard Waka talk about, hey, these guys didn't need that much help, but he and Lugo are sure enjoying leading that group, and everybody's kind of feeding off each other.
And I don't know what's going to happen. The Astros are a hell of a baseball team, but here they come to town, and then you look, okay, who's scheduled to start for the Royals against the Astros? Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer. And you're like, oh, right. I'm excited about all three of those starting pitchers getting a crack at the Astros. And again, that's just like, what a gigantic change that is from last year.
But think about
last year. Like who?
Right.
I don't know. I could even name the.
It might have been TBD game two and game three.
It'll be like last year's version of Brady Singer. Jordan Lyles and Daniel Lynch. Like, right. Like, well, they're losing two out of three. Let's see what singer shows up. Am I wrong?
No.
Right?
No.
You would look at the scheduled starting pitchers, and you there's no hope. I hope they don't get swept.
Right.
But now you look at that with a straight face. I can think Cole Reagans might shut him down. Seth Lugo, I expect him to go six strong, seven strong, whatever, sure. And have a good. And
he's going to be in the game when he leaves.
Brady Singer's looked excellent, and then we're not even talking about Michael Wacha, who's looked really good. What an amazing change, just right there.
Oh, and that's what you know. The Royal staff did in the offseason. We wanted to get a couple veteran guys in here. There's a lot of guys available on the market. We're lucky we picked the two that we did that are throwing well because a couple of those guys have gotten hurt.
Giolito's on the shelf.
Yes, on the shelf. So for those guys, I mean, Wacha with the year that he had last year to be able to get him. Lugo was kind of you didn't know what you were going to get with him. He's been relieving for a long time when he was with the Mets. He's done every single role over there. And to give him an opportunity to start again, I think was maybe one of the reasons to get him over here. And it was awesome just to hear the stories of, those guys talking to each other on the phone, like, hey, man, why not Kansas City? Let's come over here and play in Kansas City. So the way those things transpired and how we got those guys over here and to have him, start the season, we couldn't ask for anything more. Now we got to take care of business at home, at least win two out of three, keep winning series, keep ourselves relevant. We said it last time, too, that, man, just get off to a good start. Now we've done that with the sweep of the White Sox, and we got to keep that thing rolling home. We got a tough schedule here at the beginning. I wish we'd had a couple of those games back in Baltimore because we're in them. I think we've led every game the seventh inning or later at one point, and there's just some crazy numbers out there with where we've been, and I think we could easily be, 8-2.
Okay, so when you look at the bullpen, and you're talking about different guys having different roles, and maybe that's the way it's going to be. I'm probably going to ask you this every week. When you're watching this, who impresses you most? Whose stuff do you like the most? Who stands out to you as maybe it's a couple of guys that you really like so far in the bullpen?
It's ending up going to end up being a lot of matchup things because we got guys with different stuff. I really like Schreiber just because he's a little bit different, kind of a funky release point and all that kind of thing. And he can come in anytime. I think he's going to be a guy that's got a little bit more of a veteran presence that's going to have to get those meaningful outs, whether that's in the seventh or the eighth. Maybe he doesn't end up being the quote-unquote closer guy.
He'll be the stopper, put out the fire.
Yeah, man, come in there when you're facing that, 3-4-5 or something in the seventh inning, and you got to get with guys on base, and you got to get a big out. I've been impressed with the amount of ground balls that everybody's gotten by getting double plays left and right. I think we turned five in a game the other day, which tied a record. And then I do like Stratton and MacArthur, and Zerpa obviously a little bit from the left side. So, and everybody's got a little bit different look. We don't really have anybody that's 98 to 100 or anything like that, but we've got so many different pitch selections from sweeper to slider to split finger, to two seamers and four seamers. Everybody brings a little bit different to the table. And I think at some point, Quattraro's got to figure out a way to handle a bullpen. I think maybe that was something that kind of fell on him last year and didn't really know what we have. We have a whole different group down there to figure out when start defining roles and matchups are going to be a huge thing, I think, for that bullpen. But it's also helpful. And starting pitching's averaged over six innings to start the year, so you don't have to rely on guys for four innings every single game or more when starters aren't going. I wouldn't say Boddicker's sitting there, so saying a guy makes it into the sixth inning is not going deep into a game, but deeper than we've been used to over the start of the last couple of years.
Well, we haven't been used to much over the past couple of years, But it's just been such a shocking change. Because it's not easy to totally revamp an entire rotation in such a short amount of time. But the trade for Reagans, the signing of Wacha, the signing of Lugo, hopefully the continued development of Marsh, and then Brady Singer getting back to where he was, that's a lot in the last 12 months.
J.J. Piccolo and his staff did not F around. This offseason.
Easy.
We sat here last year and suffered through a terrible season when they didn't make any moves in the offseason going into that year. And we kept saying, it's going to take some patience because this is an evaluation year. And I think we were all kind of sitting back evaluating this front office, too. Like, okay, is this really going to be different than the Dayton Moore era? Because J.J. was a Dayton Moore disciple. He worked under Dayton for the whole time that, you know, this whole regime that Dayton was here. So we all wondered, okay, are things really going to change? Is this really going to be different? And they evaluated, and they didn't screw around. They, you know, that was one of the frustrations that a lot of us, I think, had with the previous regime. And look, it all has to be said. They won a World Series, right? Like, it wasn't all bad under Dayton Moore. They won a World Series. They went to two.
Can't ever take that away.
But it was really bad for the last few years before Dayton Moore left. And the thing that started to get frustrating to a lot of us, I think, was the refusal to move on from guys. Nope, we thought this guy was a prospect, and he's been up for 3 years languishing, and we're still going to run him out there. The refusal to move on from guys like Whit Merrifield, who was a good but not great baseball player, thinking, no, our fans need to see Whit Merrifield out there, until he turns around and says he doesn't, it's not even worth his time to get, you know, to stay on the field unless he's playing for a contender. And they looked at the guys that they had invested draft picks in. They've looked at guys they've invested money in. And they watched him play last year, and they said, that guy's not a part of this. That guy's not a part of this. Who are the guys that we believe in that we're going to hold on to and build around, and then we're going to go out and get some guys? Now, maybe some of it was, we're trying to get this stadium thing passed. Here's a little extra money. But when you talk about that rotation, Stephen, remember what they did when they signed these guys. They gave them all an option year.
Sure.
Right? They knew they had to pay a little extra. They had to get a little creative. But they didn't screw around with that. They didn't screw around with signing Bobby Witt Jr. They identified, you always talk about it, the four guys that they're like, no, these are the building blocks for our lineup. Everybody else is up for grabs.
Yeah, there's only seven or eight guys on this roster that were on this roster last year. I mean, if you look at the difference between April of last year versus April of this year, it's astounding, to be honest with you.
They didn't try to keep pushing that rock up the hill of some of these prospect pitchers that...
Well, and one of the terms that we've talked about for years is to be more transactional, and I think that's one thing that J.J. wants to do. He's going to, you know, get out from under Dayton's shadow a little bit and carve his own path. We still need to draft better. That's coming up here in 3 months, too. So all those things, I mean, good start by him this year. Let's see the boys keep it up. I'm a little disappointed in the numbers of people that were out at the stadium over the weekend, which is, I mean, it's your first four-game winning streak, first sweep at home over at a division rival for a while.
So Nate says it would have been filled downtown. Nate said, you saw that. Those downtown, sold out.
You know what? The Royals are a regional draw on the weekends. People plan their weekends around coming to town and going to a game. They're not going to do it as when school's still in session as much. You didn't plan ahead that this team was going to be more relevant this year because they were really bad. I'll give the fans a little break on that. They'll start turning. If the team keeps winning, they'll be turning up.
A little tick up on Sunday because they had won the first three games of the series. Weather was great, and that'll make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
The Bloom was over here blasting the Royals fans. You know, I don't know why.
I just blast. that was a blast.
Take him to town.
You just took him right through the ringer, Bloom. I couldn't believe it. I got your back, Royals fans.
You know what, though? Honestly, you call me crazy. Now that we see 18.7 million watching, there was a lot of sports fans watching Caitlin Clark on Sunday afternoon at 2.
Yeah.
The ratings were through the roof. The ratings were like an NFL playoff game. Did you see that? I mean, it's amazing.
I couldn't believe that first quarter by her. Like, oh, my God. Yep. You know. 18? Here we go. And no.
We've got Jamie Bluma in studio here. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Might as well take this opportunity to mention this, if you please. And I do. It's only Tuesday, people. But
it's already Tuesday.
I like to give people a heads up so they can plan their week. Would you like to come out to Tequila Harry's on Thursday? Do you want to have delicious Mexican food? I'm not going to twist your arm. Mike Boddicker just told me he's going to try to be there. I know I'm going to be there. Will you be there? Thursday, April 11th, that's in 2 days, I'll be at Tequila Harry's from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Thursday. A thirsty Thursday. And they're going to have the delicious Tijuana tacos or the lunch enchiladas for just $8.10. Margarita specials all day long. And if you wear your favorite team colors in, if you jumped on the UConn bandwagon or whatever, you'll receive a $10 gift card for use on a future visit to Tequila Harry's. Just for wearing your favorite team's colors, high school, college, pro, whatever. All this, delicious food and more and specials and giveaways at Tequila Harry's. You know, it's right off College in Quivira. So come out and see me on Thursday from 11 until 1. Boddicker said he's likely to be there.
Trying.
About you?
Might be there.
What about you?
Now, remind me, this Thursday or next Thursday?
This.
2 days from now.
2 days from now. I'm in.
2 days from now. Jake. Any interest?
Sure. Jake's okay. I come hang out.
Jake said, meh.
I come hang out.
You're well received there.
Kelly's off work on Thursday.
That's Aquinas. So.
Then why don't you bring her?
That's what I'm...
You give her the Tijuana tacos or the enchiladas?
Well, she gets whatever she wants.
Tijuana right. tacos.
What are you, I mean, they like you there.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of places where you're so well-received. Why not take advantage of that? They welcome you with open arms at Tequila Harry's. I don't know why you're resisting this.
I'm not resisting. Well,
that you love that place, and that place loves you.
I'm getting hungry for it right now.
Well,
I'm a fan.
That's the truth. So let's all get together on Thursday. All right?
Got it on the plan.
And invite the listener, and we'll have some fun.
You can see my little guy, Andy. He'll be there. He's got a big old shiner right now.
What will he want to eat?
Chips and salsa.
Right.
Probably a taco.
There's nothing wrong with that. What happened to him?
He took a header at daycare last week. He decided to go head first down a slide, apparently, at daycare.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way to go.
Hey.
That's right. Aggressive.
He's got a nice cut above his left eye, which... His older brother
stitches
had,
or just butterfly
band. They glued it. They had to glue it because he's real close to his. So he looks like he went a couple rounds with Tyson right now. He's got a like a perfect circle shiner all the way around. And he earned it for sure. Yeah. And it's one of those things I've been telling him. He tries to go down the slide. Don't go down the slide head first. Don't do it.
Slide in the home. Don't slide in the home head first.
Does his eye look all jacked up right now?
Oh, yeah.
Tell people it happened staring at the sun yesterday during the eclipse. So we don't know what happened. He was just staring up, and we told him not to, and then woke up, and here it is. I don't get it.
How many of us did? Do we all do that? I did it with the glasses and all that. Did you go out there?
Where were you when you saw it?
In my driveway.
My front yard.
Shawnee Mission Lake. I was out at Shawnee Mission Lake.
So here's the deal. It didn't get dark at all. It didn't,
not as dark as I thought it was going to
get. It dropped like 5 degrees, but then so...
I tried to fish while it was happening, too, to see if that made any difference.
I'm a moron. But both Susan and I both... Kind of like looked up there, without glasses. And so then we had our glasses.
Don't do it without glasses.
I looked up there.
It's dangerous. Right at that thing.
And I saw it, and it was awesome,
Yeah.
It's cool.
But like, it just boggled my mind. Like, I don't know.
It goes to show you how much radiation's coming from that thing. When 90% of it was blocked, and you could hardly tell a difference here.
The sun was double bright yesterday,
But if
too.
You looked up with the glasses on, you're like, 90% of the sun is blocked, and yet you look around. My son had a good description for it. We were talking. He said it was like on the settings on your phone, if you just dimmed it 5%. like how bright your phone is, if you just dim the display like just a little bit, like that's all it was. You could hardly tell a difference at all.
Were you
how
not
powerful
supposed to,
the sun is?
Yeah.
Were you not supposed to keep staring at it even if you had the eclipse glasses?
I don't know.
I feel like I stared at it too long.
I tried to take
even
a bunch of pictures.
Even with the glasses
you're
on?
Fine.
I think you're fine with the glasses
on. No, I mean, I looked right at that.
Did you?
Right at it.
What did you see, though?
I watched it.
With no glasses.
No glasses at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked at it long enough, you can finally see. I didn't watch the full totality.
I only had a blind spot for 4 hours afterwards.
Nah, right, that's what I mean.
Not bad.
I was seeing spots. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Yeah.
Nah. I wish I had a picture. My dad was using a welder's helmet. He had a welder's helmet looking up. Yeah, it was funny.
Sure.
Yeah, I drove to go pick up the girls at St. Pius, ended up in St. Joe. I didn't know where the hell I was. But,
yeah,
we figured
cool.
it out at some point.
there's a lot of people, out at the lake hanging out with, you know, blankets and doing a picnic and those kind of things. Emily was out on a stand-up paddleboard, checking it all. That's kind of cool.
I mean, I give it like a C+.
It is what it is. And some things only roll around every gajillion year.
2017 was awesome. I'd give that an A. I thought
what
how
was the
dark
I don't
it
even
got.
Remember the. I don't even remember.
Oh, I mean,
one.
Like the lights on the street turned
came on.
Yeah, I was up in St. Joe.
Were we 100% then?
Yes, we were only
86% totality.
It was full totality in St. Joe.
Yeah, I won't be here. When's the next one?
I don't know.
Oh well, you know if I'll
yeah,
be well, with
I'll,
us.
Yeah, I'll be dead.
No,
is it that far away?
You'll be with us in spirit.
Yeah, I mean, right. For me, yes, probably. I mean, when's the next one?
I don't know.
It's in the. I think it's in the 2040s.
So I saw like a video.
2045.
Oh yeah, I'm out of here.
Oh, God.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's sketch.
20 years from now. You got another 20 years in you.
If I'm
right on the cusp.
If I can coax another 10 years out of this body,
oh,
I'll be on. Something.
Get out of here.
You guys all get together and celebrate my life.
No.
Maybe we'll.
I'm gonna wheel your ass out there.
We'll do like three body problem with Steven.
Yeah, something.
I saw like some friends of mine like sent me a text. There was a stewardess on, or a flight attendant on Southwest that asked everybody on this flight, how many of you are on this plane to go see the eclipse? Because they were flying to somewhere that was in the path
like
of totality.
Texas or whatever.
And the whole plane raised their hands. And my buddy's like, these people have no lives. What are they doing? How could you? Don't you have anything better to do with your time than go watch an eclipse somewhere? But you know what?
The fact that they were able to go do that because they'd had successful lives, maybe that's the way you ought to look at it.
People get obsessed with different things, but heavenly bodies, it's interesting stuff. My son thought it was
loser.
Very boring. He was like, yeah, we went outside in school, we looked at it, and it was, there it is, okay.
Huh? Let's play this clip from last night at the Final Four.
About the eclipse.
If you were wondering what Charles Barkley thought of the eclipse and all the people watching it everywhere, what are you shaking your head for?
I love Charles Barkley. Well, I'm not shaking my head. I want to hear everything he has to say.
Let's hear Charles Barkley talking with his friends about the eclipse yesterday.
I thought it was maybe the Chuck blimp that got in the way.
Hey. Well, y'all, some of them losers standing outside watching that today.
They're not losers.
Yes, they are.
No, it doesn't happen often.
Hey, we've all seen darkness before. Stop it.
No, not in the daylight.
Yeah, it's, come on, man.
Come on, Chuckster. I didn't hate on the eclipse.
Come on,
yo,
stop
listen.
It.
I saw a loser standing watching your blimp. How about that? They were outside. Have you seen Chuck's blimp?
That's what I've seen.
Hey. So you're not a fan. You're not a fan of the
eclipse. Well, I'm not going to sit outside like an idiot and wait on this darkness.
Did you not wait on your blimp?
I could have waited. It's going to be dark when we go outside.
Can I ask you a second? Did you ask your family to wait on your blimp outside?
I was trying to get my grandson to watch.
See, there it is. What are you talking about?
Hey, the eclipse gonna happen again. I ain't gonna ever have another blimp.
Boy, this was a good thing. This was a very worthwhile segment. Let's go over to the AT&T connection.
I just wait and go outside. It's dark.
I need to cut that. Every time. This was a very worthwhile segment.
Oh, yeah. Ernie Johnson, that was funny. I happen to be watching that right then. That's good.
All right.
Hey, good to hear Scotty Carroll on here yesterday. It was Chet. Texting with him when you guys had him on.
Yeah, we like Scott Carroll very much. What about Cole Reagans? He's the Royals' number one. He's the ace. This is what you do. Now you get first crack at the Astros.
Yeah,
this is exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Go out there and put up a good first start. Win the first game of the series. Set a tone. He's been good. Kind of same as last year. A little rough first outing. Second outing was lights out. Settled in, all of his pitches working. He's a fun guy to watch pitch. I mean, he's not going to see better left-handed stuff in the major leagues right now.
Boddicker says it only matters how many strikeouts he gets, which is, I couldn't believe Mike said that.
I just like strike one.
Right. No, there it is.
Strike one.
Jake's not paying attention anymore. He's on his phone. What are you doing?
I'm looking at a text that Bo Richter just sent us, and he's sitting right
Bo Richter's right behind you. By the way,
we got a party in here.
For the dynamic of you today,
yes.
Me, Nate, Bluma in studio, and there's a whole
different show going on
with Jake. Jake, Mike Boddicker, Mark Bo Richter are in there just laughing it up, having the time of their lives,
yucking
it
up.
So you basically got one show off the air and one show on the air right now.
Well,
it's good.
this start life.
This radio station, man.
I'm gonna get this on.
I got my moniker behind me.
I'm gonna get this on Snapchat. Hold on, okay. There's Nate. Bluma.
Right.
Back there's Boddicker. Bo Richter's hiding over there. Bo Richter's texting Jake.
he's
5 feet away from Jake. So I don't know what's going on right now. So there it is.
The thing about like this place. You know those like SportsCenter commercials where they make it seem like there's just like athletes and mascots just hanging around.
Yeah, walking around.
Steph Curry's just walking through the cafeteria line. That's what this like high school me would have been freaking out all the time here. Oh, yeah, Mike Boddicker's just hanging out. Well, that's true. You didn't know wanted to see that.
Boddicker said same size.
He'd have gotten beat up. He'd have gotten beat up here.
A lot skinnier, Bod. Same shortness.
We'll High school Nate in his itchy groin. What would your voice have sounded like?
Hey, Mr. Boddicker. Nice to meet you, Mike. You're one of my dad's favorite pitchers.
Oh, this is fun. Let's take a break. Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So what do you think about this debate between Major League Baseball and the Players Association? MLBPA is blaming the pitch clock for all these injuries, and MLB is saying, no, it's not the pitch clock, it's just velocity and everything else, the trends that have been heading in the wrong direction as far as keeping pitchers healthy.
So a couple takes, and was listening to you guys talk about it a little bit yesterday. There's many more arm injuries because guys throw so much harder now on average, pitch after pitch after pitch, than they did 15, 20 years ago. So that's part of it. I don't think there's enough, and this is where I'm not siding with one side or the other. I understand Tony Clark's got to take the player side. I understand how they have to take the other side of it, but there's not enough data. I mean, the pitch clock's only been around last year and this year, so there's not enough information and data out there to know what that has done. Now, we've seen three guys this year with Perez, Bieber, and Strider break down, but I don't know if that's a ton different than any other year as of right now. So the fact that we've trained guys over the last 20 years to be maximum effort and to be maximum velocity and all that, I know that has caused more injuries, period. I think it remains to be seen over the next couple years. It's too small of a sample size over, 172 games now where we've had a pitch clock. I don't think anybody knows if that has caused more damage to guys, but I understand both sides of it. But it remains to be seen over the long haul, what that's going to fall into. I don't know yet.
I mean, it's an alarming number of. And it's also some of the best pitchers in baseball,
Well, right. I mean, there's been an alarming number of Tommy Johns, period, over the last, 10 years.
How much of that is them banning the spider tack?
I don't know how much that does either. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, the combination of all these things happening in a short period of time?
I mean, the numbers say that injuries continue to be on the rise.
Right.
Yes.
I remember Blake bitching about that, saying, I had to throw the ball different. I had to grip it harder.
Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole, another guy that's hurt right now, too, for a little while. Maybe not surgery yet, but he.
Nobody wants to hear it, but like Jake's, alluding to, maybe it's just a combination of all these things.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt.
There's one thing you could point at, and it's inevitable.
Well, and that's the frustrating thing is they just decide willy-nilly. I mean, there's no vote by the players to shorten the pitch clock.
Well, I mean, that's why they're pissed off.
Right.
And you get that.
I thought that would be in the CBA that there has to be some sort of a
1 minute,
a compromise between both sides when something like that gets turned over and shortened again after not even having it. To have it be one thing and then have it be even shorter.
My understanding is they only shorten it for when there's runners on base, though, right? By like 2 seconds?
I'd have to look at exactly
that, that
what
was the
they,
way I read it. Because
exactly
I looked it up because I didn't even realize.
I mean, it's definitely changed the pace of the game. I mean, if you've been out to a game over the last year and a half, I mean, there's not many games that go over 230, 240 now unless it's a super high-scoring game or They still have the extra inning rule in effect where they put a guy on second base, and so you're not going to see any 13, 14, 15 inning games or anything like that, too. So, I mean, I think the jury's still out, but the injuries certainly aren't going down at any point.
Jamie Bluma, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
You can get a hold of me on Twitter, @BundyJr19. Catch me on Facebook. I don't even remember my phone number at work.
Yeah, we'll catch you on social media.
Homefieldkc.com. You can get a hold of me that way, too. Get some lessons. There Summer camp's coming up. Everybody's playing baseball right now. Weather's great. Rock and roll.
We'll be right back after this with Mark Bullrichter on WHB.